Welcome back. If you haven't already, make sure to download your notes so you can follow Steve, jot down some key ideas, and really absorb this important lesson. Now, here's Steve.
Okay, so we've talked about why, and we've talked about what. Okay, so now it's time to talk about the how factor. And let's go back to our example. Your child doesn't listen, starts a backtalk, throws those temper tantrums. And your challenge now, after asking not only why, not only what, is to ask how. How can I best teach my little guy this lesson at this moment? And again, if you're triggered, you're going to go right into the behavioral approach. Now, I've got a magazine article. You can hear it rattling. And it's called Parenting OC, because I live in Orange County, California, September 2017. And on page 22, the article is named Taming the Tiny Tyrant. This is the behavioral approach. When you ask, you know, now, how do I do this? This is what these behavioral experts will tell you. And this article, written by a gal who's a medical doctor, says it this way. The best way to deal with temper tantrums is to ignore them and distract them. There's the behavioral approach. Okay? And it says this, and I quote, the more you simply ignore the tantrum, the quicker your child will learn and realize that kicking and screaming is not the way to get what they want. You see what I mean here? The assumption here is that children are only looking for attention and they're trying to control the world and the adults in it. And I'm going to tell you that in as much as some of that might be true. Remember how we talk about misbehavior and stress behavior? I'm here to tell you that we want to take a different approach than just ignoring and punishing the unwanted behavior with the how. So let's get out of the trigger mode. And let's talk about being curious, because when you and I are curious, we start to guide and we start to ask better questions. Now, in my Tame Temper Tantrums program, I share a whole lot of techniques on how to do that. I'm going to share some of them with you today, but make sure that you download all that information that I sent you so that you're following with me on the notes here. Because here's the deal, that when you and I ask the how question, we start to nurture the ideal conditions for our children to grow, watch this, without having to be the perfect parent, so you and I can relax, ditch the guilt about not doing everything right, and not have to be wiped out, that's right, wiped out by our busy, crazy day. So the challenge, first and foremost, is how. So let me put this in a context for you. We've got a child, a young child, a little girl on the elevator, and of course she wants to be a big girl and push all the buttons and show mom and dad that she's a big girl, and you don't want her to do that because she's going to push all the buttons and there's 8 people on the elevator. Now, your first option in that moment, when we talk about how do I best teach my child a lesson in this moment, your first option is to use reason. And you say to her, you know, sweetie, I know you want to do the buttons right now, but we can't do that because all these nice people are going up the elevator and we can't push all the buttons. Now, I'll be frank with you. 9 times out of 10, reason doesn't work. And that's part of why you're listening to my voice right now, because you've done that. And your child melts down, gets egocentric, but I don't want to do that. I want to push all the buttons. And then they start freaking out, and then you and I are embarrassed and the whole thing. So your first option on the how is to use reason. And more often than not, reason doesn't work. So toss it for a moment. Your second option, this one I want to challenge you to do, is instead of use reason, is to connect with your child. And it might sound something like this. You know, sweetie, I notice how much you love pushing the buttons. And maybe just drop down on one knee and say, come here for a minute. And you look her in the face and go, I love you so much. You are so cute. Come here. Can I just hold you for a moment? You know, a lot of times when you just connect with children, they get over that stuff really fast. They get to realizing that they're important, and you just fill up their love tank. Now, of course, you're probably sitting here saying, you know, you don't know my child, Steve, because you do that and she's still going to want to push the buttons because her temperament, she's persistent. And by the way, persistence is part of temperament. She's persistent. So then how about another option? And your third option would be to connect. This is one of the techniques I share. Connect and redirect. See, when you and I connect and redirect, what you say is something like this. You're in the elevator and you say, well, little baby, come here for a minute. I know you want to push those buttons right now. And I see how hard you're trying to be a big girl. Can you do me a favor? Can you be mommy's helper? Because, you know, when I was your age, I wanted to be just like you. That's right. I wanted to be just like you and push all those buttons and be a big girl. See, what you're doing in that moment is you're connecting with your child. And then with literally the shift of a sentence, you'd drop right into, so can you be my helper? Can you show all these people that you are a big girl? And can you stand here right next to me and just show them all that you're a big girl? And as soon as we're done going up, I'll let you push the button to go to our floor. Now you tell me, mom and dad, if you were to do that, this connect and redirect, what's probably going to happen to your little one on the elevator? She's probably going to relax, calm down. You're going to keep her brain in harmony with what it's supposed to do. And she's going to probably try to prove to you that she's a big girl, and she's going to try to prove to you that she's mommy's helper, and that's exactly what's going to happen. And all you've done is made a simple shift that takes all of 30 seconds. And that's just one of a bazillion techniques that I share in my Taming Temper Tantrums program that you're going to want to take a peek at later on. You know, another technique would be on the how part is to help kids name their emotions so they can tame their emotion. You see, when children are upset and dysregulated, instead of just putting them in a timeout, maybe in terms of how do I really deal with it in this situation? How do I teach it to them? Say, you're really upset right now. Or can you tell daddy what's going on? Can you put words to what you're feeling right now? And the moment you help children name their emotions, the science tells us that their brain starts becoming more harmonious and they start to tame their emotions. So naming emotions helps tame emotions, which now converts into better behavior. You know, earlier I spoke to you about speaking at Saddleback Church literally last night, and I want to tell you a little bit about some of the parents that I ran into, because they were asking, you know, how do I best teach my child this lesson? So I'm reminded of one mom in particular. She raised her hand during the Q&A time and she goes, okay, here's the deal. My child backtalks all the time, all the time. And, you know, I'm warm, I'm patient, and she smiles, I'm very patient. And Steve, she says to me, and then I lose it. I absolutely lose it. And she kind of got a little emotional in front of the crowd, and she goes, and I got to admit, I don't like it, but I'm a yeller. Now, before I addressed her, I looked at the whole crowd. I kind of smiled and paused for a moment, looked at the crowd and said, how many here can relate to what she's talking about? I was in a room with about 90 moms and dads. And probably 90% of everybody in the room raised their hands. And if you're a parent who can relate to what I'm saying, I'm just here to say you are normal. So what I did in that moment is I modeled it for her. I said, okay, so you've just backtalked to me because I've asked you to do something and I've been patient and patient and patient. And she said, yes. Okay. So I walked over to her and I go, I model it for her and I go, wow. You're really upset and you want daddy to know that. And you don't want to do what I ask. Is that true? No, I don't want to do it at all. Okay. Well, just because I like you, should I let you treat me that way? No. Okay. Well, can you be my helper? Can you show daddy you're a big boy? Can you do what I ask you to do? Because I don't want to have to talk about timeouts and all that other stuff. Can we just do it that way? Would that be okay? Yes. Okay, after I shared that with her, she was literally in tears. She's like, oh my gosh, you make it look so easy. Well, let me tell you something. When you start understanding techniques, when you start understanding the why and the what, then all of a sudden you start to move in with the force of an authoritative parent. And you don't need to take back talk. Back talk is not something you allow your children to do. But when you interact with, just because I like you, should I let you talk to me that way? Or, oh, I don't let children talk to me that way. But you know, I like you a lot. So come over here for a minute. Can we do this a little bit differently? Can we have a replay? Can you hit rewind and do this over and show mommy, show daddy that you're a big boy and you know how to use your big boy words and talk to me nicer? See, in that moment, you've absolutely changed everything. And that's the how part. Those are those wonderful techniques. I'm also reminded of a dad that I spoke to last night. He was a Hispanic gentleman. He was very honest. He goes, hey, I'm going to be honest with you. We're a spanking family. I was raised that way. It's part of my culture. And I'm not satisfied with it, but I'm not really sure what to do. And I said, well, it's very interesting because when you talk to white parents and, you know, they spank, they feel like bullies. And parents in a lot of other cultures, the research shows us that when you ask the kids, what's it like? They feel loved when they've been spanked. I'm not suggesting that you should spank, but this is what I said to the man. I said, what if we took your spanking and we called it a power tool? And what if we took that power tool and we put it in the bottom of your tool chest? And he goes, he looks at me, folds his arms. He goes, okay, keep talking to me. And I said, and what if we fortified that tool chest with all kinds of other things that would help you raise your kid into an adult? How would that be? He's like, oh, sign me up for that. I'd absolutely love it. You see, that's the beauty of getting a well-fortified tool chest. You don't have to pull out the power source anymore. You don't have to pull out the power tool. So I said to him, what's going to happen to you if I help you fill your tool chest with all these other tools and techniques? What's going to happen if you ask why or what? He's like, well, the how part's going to get a lot easier because I won't have to pull out the power tool. And I said, now you're talking. He goes, thank you so much. My point to you is you don't have to use the power tool when you get clear on why and what. I'm also reminded of an Asian mom, very multicultural, diverse group last night. She said, I've got a four-year-old who doesn't listen. And she goes, I'm going to be honest with you. She says, I find that profoundly disrespectful. She said to me, I want that to change. What can I do? She says, you know, the other night she says to me in an example, she told me, you know what? I don't want to put my doll down, my doll down, and you can't make me. That's what she yelled at her mom. So I role played for her. And I moved in. I says, you've just told me, screamed at me, you can't make me. And I said to her, just because I like you. That's right. Just because I like you. Should I let you talk to me that way? And I wonder if there's another way we can do this, sweetie. Can you try to use your words and show me that you're a big girl? And all of a sudden, sure enough, mom looks at me and she's like, I need to do that. I'm like, yes, it's just shifting, being more compassionate, trying to model what you want life to look like in your living room as a warm and caring parent. Folks, I know you can do this. I know you can do this. I had another dad reach up. He says, you know, we're from a blended family, and I'm going to be really honest. He put his arm around his new wife and he goes, We parent differently. And he got vulnerable and says, you know what, I'm the heavy hand and she's the nurturing one and we're not a united front. Now, that's a big one. And I said to him, and I'm going to say this to you, that in my Taming Tantrums program, we talk a lot about being a united front and how to get on each other's page and really understand the role that gender plays, understand the role that getting clear about the why really plays. And once you do that as a couple, you start speaking the same language and you become a more united front. And then your children don't play you one against the other. Then there's no longer one that's heavy and one that's soft, kind of a thing. It's a really big deal. So when we get back to this idea of how do I best teach this lesson, here's another thing I want to share with you.
Thanks for listening. You've reached the end of this module. To listen to the next module, just click the email link we sent you when you registered. And by the way, be sure to check out Steve's 40-day home study program called How to Tame Tantrums Without Raising Your Voice. Simply go to www.intouchparenting.com/tame2.0. This unique program has been getting rave reviews from busy parents just like you. If you liked the information on this audio presentation, feel free to share it with your friends and post comments on sites like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.